My mind has been going back. I've been listening to a lot of testimonies from the past because I've been putting together an audio-video scrapbook on the internet. And if some of you don't know about it, you can look it up when you get a chance, avscrapbook.com. And it's just a lot of things being added more or less daily, going back in the years and also up to date, some of the things that have to do with Norwich and various places where God has used my feeble efforts in various times in different ways. Amen. And as I listen back, I just see how God's blessings are just incredible. How He's able just to take anything and do something wonderful with it. Any circumstance. Amen. He can take any set of situations, regardless of how rough or how extreme they may be, people's lives, the way people are living, things that seem absolutely impossible. As I think back through the years, and I'm reminded because some things I've played that I had actually forgotten about. Years have a way of taking memory with it. But it's good to have tapes and things from the past and rekindle some of these memories. And I'm going to open the Bible tonight. I have a scripture. And it's the fourth chapter of Philippians. Amen. Paul wrote those things, this is verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful but lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. And then I want to go back into the Old Testament. Praise God. The book of Isaiah. Thank you, Jesus. I should have had all these marked, but that's all right. They're in here. We'll get to them. Isaiah. The 55th chapter. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy, and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader, and a commandment to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Amen. You can be seated. And there is a connection between being content in the work of God and also taking advantage of the opportunity to be there in the presence of God for people who are thirsty and hungry after God. And not get caught up in the way things look, way things may seem. Amen. Everybody say godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. There's a lot of truth in that. That is a scripture in the Bible. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. And we're instructed in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Amen. Buy the truth and sell it not. There are a lot of things that are worth a whole lot more than we realize. And being content is one of those more valuable assets. And it's very rare, even among church people, to find contentment. Have you ever seen anybody that just couldn't be happy? They just were restless? Things were never as they wanted them to be? There always needs to be something more. It's just not quite where I thought it would be at this particular time in my life. I haven't reached my goals. Oh my, I wish it were this way. I wish it were that way. Godliness with contentment is great gain. The will of God concerning us is to seek God first in our lives and let Him be everything that we need. When we talk about the scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. That's what it means. It means He's everything I need. I don't really have to look for anything else. Everything I need is in my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All my answers, all my needs are supplied in my great shepherd, my Lord. Amen. And Paul went on and expressed it. He said, I know how to be hungry and yet be full at the same time. I know how to need things and yet have all things at the same time. He's trying to teach us a lesson that I have learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. Praise God. There's a lot to learning to be content. And it has to do, it goes hand in hand with faith. It's difficult to exercise faith to do the things that God would have us to do if we're restless, impatient, having a hard time understanding how things could be like they are, you know, in our minds, if they start worrying and we start being fearful because things are not like we think they should be. Fear and that type of fear and that type of anxiety will just, it won't mix with faith and what God would have us to do. And so what we have to work on is learning to be content in the midst of the will of God when it doesn't look right. Hallelujah. When it doesn't feel right. When it doesn't seem like it's the right way to go. What we need to do is something somebody already mentioned tonight in one of the testimonies. Lean on the Word of God. You know, stay with the Word of God, regardless. In the dry times, when the blessings don't seem to be falling, when people are not just excited, and people are not really getting with it like you think they should, we still need to remember the Word of the Lord has not changed. Hallelujah. When the blessings aren't coming in like we thought they would, we don't have the financial prosperity that we thought we would have at times, or maybe there's sickness we didn't expect, or calamity, or problems that we didn't know that this would be something we would have to go through. Praise God, we need to learn to be content. For this is the will of God concerning you. Hallelujah. That's it. That was another scripture I had on my mind. All things work together for the good. For those that love God. And are the called according to His purpose. His purpose is very clear in the Word of God. And that is to offer water to the thirsty, food to the hungry. And to call the people that don't know Him and say, you can be mine. And to seek for people that did not even seek for Him and say, I'm available for you too. Praise God. And tonight I want to share some experiences with you. Sometimes experiences, even though they've been shared before, have lessons in them. We go back in the Old Testament, we read the experiences of the children of God, how they went through things, and how they would sing a song over and over, how God delivered, how God made a way, how God broke through and caused things to come forth. And we just want to praise our God. Oh, praise you, the Lord, for His goodness, for His mercy, for His kindness, for He has done great things. And over and over in the Old Testament, we read the testimonies, how they shared with one another over and over what God has done for His people. Hallelujah. Amen. And you've heard me talk about some of these things, but I like to share them again because as I think on some of the things that I have personally seen in my life, it gives me renewed strength for what I'm going through now and dealing with now. Amen. What I may see to be complacency in the saints of God may not be as it appears. It may be a testing time to see if we can endure the time that we're going through with contentment and godliness and be able to say, you know what, no matter how it looks, no matter how few there be, no matter how unexcited we may seem, the Word of God is behind us and we're going the right direction. Hallelujah. Because in the dry times, He provides water for the thirsty. Hallelujah. In the lean times, He provides food for the hungry. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just a few years ago, sitting right down the street here, the year was 1998, sitting there with no money in my pocket. Now, I'm talking things that happened in Norwich, Connecticut. The only two people in the room that I can remember was Brother George and myself. A phone rings. A man's on the telephone. It says, go to Russia. You need to go to Russia. He said, I was praying. God told me to tell you, you need to go to Russia. Well, I hadn't been praying about going to Russia. I hadn't even thought about going to Russia. I had no money to go to Russia. I had never had any kind of feeling about ever traveling to Russia in my life. Amen. And there's Brother George standing there watching me answer this man on the telephone as he's telling me to go to Russia. And when we finished the phone call, Brother George said, so when are you going? And it's the same thing the man on the telephone had said. I said, well, brother, he said, all you need to do is get $3,000. You can take $3,000 and go to Russia, and God's going to use you there. And I said, well, I don't have $3,000. He said, so are you planning to go? And it was a test of faith. It was a test of faith. I needed, according to him, about $3,000 before I would take the trip. I would need to get a lot of things arranged. I didn't know what to expect. All I ever heard about Russia was things that we all heard about Russia through the years. Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been all that many years ago when you said Russia, you thought about the big bear. You thought about war tensions and, you know, pressures in history and things. You thought about a lot of things that were in history. And here's a man on the phone saying, God wants you to go to Russia. Well, I don't just fall for what everybody says to me, but I do know that that particular man has been used mightily of God to open doors in ways that only God could open doors, but He happens to use that man to open these doors for some reason over and over. A very educated man. He studied, got a degree at Harvard University, a minister of the gospel. He has worked close with President Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr., and has advised both of those presidents when they were president. He was responsible for putting together the first apostolic gospel singing as part of the official inauguration ceremonies when President George Bush Sr. was elected as president. Brother and Sister Bradley went with me, and we were part of that ceremony, singing and praising God. And people were speaking in tongues and shouting hallelujah right there at Washington, D.C., And we were invited there by the inaugural committee for the President of the United States. Now, that is something you just don't ordinarily get that kind of an invitation to go and sing and play music from the inaugural committee of the President of the United States, which we found ourselves doing. But that man that called me on the phone was the one that got all that done. Amen. So God wants you to go to Russia. Well, how do I go to Russia? You know, and so now 8 years have gone by. And you know, a lot of these thoughts kind of get away from you. Because I people ask me questions now of things that I try to remember that I told them 30 years ago. And now I try to tell them again and I can't remember exactly the sequence of events. Did this happen before that, or did that happen before this? Because over a period of time, you start forgetting. So it's good to have reminders once in a while. But I remember the feeling I was going through that day. I couldn't pay the light bill. I couldn't pay the rent. We were sitting there, business as usual, with a small congregation, and the bills were due. And I had spent all that had come in the offerings trying to make ends meet and was sitting there dead broke. And I remember the feeling, why do I stay broke all the time? And that feeling was going on that day when this man called and said, you need to take $3,000 and go to Russia. Hallelujah. And Brother George didn't help. All he did was encourage me, go ahead and do it. And yet it was a help. Just that presence of another man there encouraged me to go ahead. Encouraged me to go ahead. Sometimes we just need somebody to say a few words. Praise God. It can make a big difference. It can make a big difference. Just like Sister Annie was talking about when he said to that person, whatever he said when he was having all those problems that at that limousine service, and Jesus loves you, it's going to be okay, or something to that effect. Well, sometimes just a few words can make a difference. And we need to realize, look, I got God in my life. I have a miracle worker in my life. I can do all things. Whatever He calls us to do, we can do those things according to His purpose. Now, I've got sitting back there in my closet a box full of big pictures, plus some video. It's all sitting back there of things that happened in a one-week period that we spent in Russia. Praise God. It wasn't just a trip to Russia. And sometimes we just need to remember some things, because where is it all going? What was it all about? Well, I can tell you the bottom line right now is there is an ongoing revival right now in Tatarstan, Russia, which is where we went. At the time we went there, there was one little lady who was filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. And as far as we knew then, and as far as we know today, she was the only person in all of Tatarstan, which covers hundreds of miles in northern Russia, hundreds of miles. She was the only person baptized in Jesus' name. And she had such a burden to bring this message, to bring this truth to her people. Hallelujah. That she just wouldn't give up, and she just kept contacting Brother Walkstetter and kept contacting and saying, there has to be a way. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. It would seem impossible that one little thin lady in Tatarstan could make such a difference in a country such as Russia. But God did the impossible with that young lady. Hallelujah. Her pastor had a church membership of some 30,000 members in Russia. But they had no church buildings. Amen. Now, I didn't know all these facts until we got there, and some of the facts I learned after I got there, some after I got back. But I firsthand got to see a lot of things. Amen. First of all, in trying to see what God would do, doors just opened, finances came, the money was there. I thought it was going to come one way. It didn't happen that way, so it happened another way. People, even in this building, were truly instrumental in helping it to happen. The church at Newington found out what was happening, went over there and preached, and they chipped in to help. But we found ourselves at JFK Airport. I didn't know any of the people that were going except the brother that called me. And I thought he was going, but it turned out he couldn't get his papers together, and he couldn't even go. And so here I am showing up at JFK Airport upon this man's faith and upon Brother George's encouragement with $3,000 in my pocket. Hallelujah. And the light bill paid. And the rent paid. And the bills at home paid. In fact, I'll tell you this much. I went to Russia with $3,000, spent a week, and had a blast meeting all kinds of people and seeing all kinds of miracles. Came back, had more money left over when I came back to Norwich than I did before I left. Hallelujah. Bought a new camera when I got home. But I like to share these experiences because they're real. And many of you have been a part of this. Just look what God has done for us. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves kind of discouraged. It's not happening. Oh my. What happened to the call of God? What about the will of God? Where are all the people? Where are all the miracles? We don't know. We don't know how many miracles God has performed. But what we need to do is be content in the fact that we have got the truth. We have found the peace and the joy and the love of God. And we can be a witness around this world. Praise God. Hallelujah. I stood there at that airport. I didn't know anybody. And I found the place where we were supposed to meet. And I didn't know any of the people there. So I just stood up and I hollered, "Praise the Lord! Hallelujah!" And here they came. The people of God know the language. There were hundreds of people there. But when I started saying, "Praise the Lord! Hallelujah!" the little crew that was supposed to go to Russia started gathering around, introducing themselves. "Oh, who are you?" "I'm Brother Rush." "Well, I'm Brother So-and-so." "I'm Sister So-and-so." And there were just about eight of us. We all huddled together and we found each other. Our fearless leader that called and said, "You need to go to Russia," was nowhere to be found. Hallelujah. Time to board the aircraft. We get on board. Our leader wasn't there. Nobody knew what was going on. We just knew he wasn't there. Amen. We did get word just before we left, he won't be able to make it. But go on anyhow. Do what you can do. Take charge. So here I found myself with a few people on our way to Moscow. Praise God. Not knowing what the person would look like that we were supposed to meet. I'm talking about something just a few years ago. You wouldn't think about this as even being possible in our world today. Praise God. Just before we went on to Moscow, we were coming into Helsinki. Helsinki. I thought about that as we were coming into Helsinki. And there was a Russian lady who spoke English sitting next to one of the ministers there in the plane. And so she said, "So what are you people going to do when you get to Russia?" And he started telling her about baptism in Jesus' name and the Holy Ghost. And we were wanting him to shut up because we figured she was some kind of a spy, which it turns out she probably was. He was trying to tell her, "We're going to convert people. We're going to go to Tatarstan and we're going to teach people they need to be immersed in water in baptism in the name of Jesus. And they're going to get the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues as God's Spirit gives them the utterance." And she would say, tell me more. And he was saying, "Lady, you need this too." And we just wanted the man to shut up, but what could we do? He just kept on telling her about Jesus. So when we changed planes at Helsinki, where is that, in Finland?
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, I've been to Finland. How about that? Amen. We changed planes there in Helsinki. And then the next plane was to take us right on into Moscow. Amen. So we landed in Moscow. As we got off the plane, we were just like a bunch of little rabbits being released in a pen of hound dogs. You know, bulldogs. Everybody we saw looked like Russians. We had cash with us, and we didn't know what to do with, you know, we didn't know if it might be taken away from us or what, so we put the cash, the $100 bills, in our shoes, hoping that they wouldn't ask us to take our shoes off. And the reason we had all these thousands of dollars with us is because some money had been collected for us to be able to get some Russian Bibles. And we were going to have to find a place to buy the Bibles in Moscow, order the Bibles. And all this was being to be done without our leader being with us to put all this together. Amen. And so as we walked through that airport in Moscow, nobody talked our language. All they would say is "da," or something like that. And so we were walking through the airport, and we saw this Afro-American lady. They had her cornered, and they were searching her. They had her pinned against the wall, some of these security men, and they were searching. She was crying. And I thought, oh my, we're next. We stood in that line, and I had my slide trombone with me. I don't know why I took my trombone. I hadn't played it before then. I was out of practice, and I couldn't really play it that well because I hadn't played it in years, but I felt like taking my trombone. I carried that trombone all the way to Tatarstan, brought it all the way back, and never did play it one time. Hallelujah. But when we were going through security there in that Moscow airport, those Russians wanted to know what that was. And I tried to explain to them, trombone. He said, boom, 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 boom. I said, trombone. He went. I said, you know. And so I opened it, and they curiously watched me, and I slowly opened it. And I said, trombone. He said, da, trombone, trombone, da, trombone. Okay. Didn't let me go. So they marched on through there, and in that Moscow airport, every little hole in the ceiling looks like there's a camera looking straight down. I believe there was. It looks like you're being viewed. Every step you take, eyes are watching you. Have you been there? You seen those holes? I mean, they're all through the ceiling. And it looks like camera lenses are looking straight down on you. So anyway, we went through there. And everything, all the words were in Russian. Everybody I met there was a foreigner. But they had this green light at one part of the airport, and people were lined up there and going through with all the security. Then they had a red light. And of course, I guess that's kind of universal around the world. Red means stop or don't go through, and green means go. But since we were just these dumb Americans, didn't know what we were doing, I decided I'd just go through the red light.
Oh, no.
Because everybody else is standing in line. So I just broke the line and went through the red light. And it looked like they were going to come after me. But when they saw that I was through, one of the Russians went over and talked to another one and just motioned for the rest of them to go ahead and follow me. So all of our people got to pass the whole line. We went through this red light. Amen. Stood on the other side, and they didn't check our shoes, they didn't check our bags or anything. All they checked was my trombone. Praise God. That's right. But they didn't, all these people still standing in line. We went through the place you're not supposed to go through. And there was a little lady standing there, and she said, so where's Brother Walkstetter? And we said, he's not able to come. And she said, oh my. And then she said, well, we're going to do this with or without him. Amen. Hallelujah. If you could just see that little lady, how much faith she was. Here's a young lady that had put together, coordinated, something that she had just felt consumed by. Got to get this truth to my people. Hallelujah. She had us to follow her. We went out behind her down a little sidewalk, and there was a bus sitting there. We boarded the bus. She had arranged to have a bus to pick us all up. And I'm telling you, boy, those folks in Russia, they drive fast. We went down through Moscow, and we saw all kinds of scenes that we've seen in history and on the news, and took us right up to Red Square. Stopped the bus and said, we got 12 hours to kill. 12 hours to kill. Amen. And so what we did in 12 hours, to make a long story short, we bought Bibles. The ruble dipped at an all-time low. We were able to get 5,000 rather than 1,000 Bibles with the money that we had. Russian Bibles. Had those Bibles with this lady directing us because she was talking the Russian language or their language and our language. And she was the in-between, and she would do the negotiating. We'd reach down in our shoes and pull money out and pay for the Bibles. And we bought all these Bibles and made arrangements for them to ship them on a train to meet us in Tatarstan within a couple of days. And where we were going, we had learned that the people there had never even owned a Bible. The only Bible they had had in their entire life was just a piece of a Bible. They had traded little verses from Bibles, like trading baseball cards, because they had been an underground church for years. Underground. And many of them testified to us while we were there how that they had seen their loved ones dragged into the woods, beaten and tortured, while they were just simply worshiping God, trying to quietly worship God, and they got caught praising the Lord. Amen. Just a few years before we arrived there, that was what they were going through. Persecution. Suffering persecutions, and they weren't even baptized in the name of Jesus. Suffering persecution, and they didn't even realize the power that's in the Holy Ghost or the name of Jesus. Praise God, but loving Jesus enough to be willing to give their lives for what they learned about Jesus. Their Bibles consisted of just a piece, carefully protected, and they'd have them in little pieces of cardboard, and secretly for years they had been trading scriptures with one another. Thousands of people, a network of people spreading over hundreds of miles trading Bible scriptures, looking forward to the day when they would actually be able to hold a Bible in their hands. And I want to tell you something. You just don't know the feeling unless you've been there and experienced it, of watching people for the first time pick up a Bible that they've never held, knowing that this is their own Bible. Those people hugged those Bibles. They kissed those Bibles. They fell down on the floor and they wept over their Bibles. They held their Bibles up and tears streaming down their faces, thanking God for a Bible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. But our interpreter, we didn't know him, and there's a lot went on. That little lady that was taking us there, I'll just say this part on the way. We found out when we had to get on the plane that night to go on to Tatarstan, they weren't prepared for us. They didn't know we were coming. And they had this real small plane that was supposed to fly to Tatarstan. It goes every night, but it was too small for all of us and the people they had scheduled. And so they said, they told the lady, we can't take your people to Tatarstan. And that little lady, she was so determined to get this truth in Tatarstan, and she'd made all these arrangements, she wouldn't take no for an answer. Now, all my life, I thought, man, you don't want to say anything contrary to any authority in Russia. But she got right up in her faces, shaking her finger in her faces, and she was speaking their language. It sounded like she was speaking in tongues, but she was going at it. And they were walking the floor, and they were going back and forth, and they were telling her, no, there's no way. And she kept saying, there is a way. I want to speak to the supervisor. I want to speak to the head person. And she kept on till they brought another airplane out of the locker. Hallelujah. They held back their plane for 2 hours so they could get this other one ready. But man, you should have seen the plane. It looked like it came out of somebody's junkyard. The motors were not alike. It looked like, you know, one of them was off of a different kind of plane completely. The backs on the seats of that plane, they were broken. When you sat down, the backs just fell backward. Amen. The curtains were torn sheets. They weren't even cut evenly. They were just ripped apart, hung on the windows. That was the curtains in that plane we were going to fly in. Hallelujah. When we got on that plane, it was deathly quiet. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, godliness with contentment is great gain. But it's hard to be content when you're on it's one thing to drive a rattle-trap car, but you don't want a rattle-trap airplane flying at nighttime over Russia. And they were already mad because these Americans were tying up the plane. And this young lady kept saying, it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. She was sitting right there. Sitting right there. But one of the persons in our little group said, let's pray. And there was a feeling of, I don't know how this is going to turn out amongst us, you know. We joined hands. It didn't matter. All these other Russians were sitting around us in that little plane, but we joined hands. And I'm telling you, those folks, We had prayer. It was sincere prayer. It didn't matter who was watching or who thought what. It was one of those prayers, God, you got to help us now. Hallelujah. And we found ourselves flying on that plane. All because one little lady in Tatarstan wanted this truth to be brought to her people so much that nothing would stand in her way. Hallelujah. As we were flying in the night, we noticed all of a sudden we started descending. We were coming down, but you look out the window and there was nothing but darkness. There was no airport, no lights to be seen, and yet we were going down. And so somebody asked, why are we going down? But nobody could understand us. Praise God. We were the only ones on the plane that knew how to talk English except for the lady that had us there. And she turned around and comforted us. She said, we're landing. It's midnight in the heart of Russia. Not a light in sight. And we're going down and we're landing. My little heart was beating fast. Hallelujah. And as we went down, all of a sudden, some lights came on. We didn't have much further to go down. We were almost right on top of the lights when they came on. But evidently these pilots knew what they were doing. And they took this one little runway that went through a big field and took it right up to looked like a barn. That was their airport. It was a barn. Landed right behind this big barn. And the lady said, this is where we get off. We got off the plane and stood in the middle or in a field behind a barn. In Tatarstan at midnight. In the dark. And the plane took off and left us there. And a door came open. And there were these little men standing there with big smiles on their faces. None of them could talk English. But the only thing they could say we could understand was, hallelujah! Hallelujah! They had been waiting there for hours on these Americans to show up. Praise God. As we walked through the barn, on the other end of the barn, there was another bus sitting there. And so we got on this bus. We had 50-something miles to go down to the boondocks of Tatarstan in a bus. And man, did that guy drive that bus fast. Praise God. We were just zooming through there. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And all the way, there was nothing but excitement. This lady was talking as fast as she could, trying to tell us what they were saying and tell them what we were saying. And everybody just laughing and praising God, saying hallelujah, because we could understand that. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We got there. Amen. We got there. Didn't know what to expect. And a lot of details I'll leave out to save some time, but there's a whole lot of good things. A whole lot of good things. But the next morning, we found ourselves with a crowd of people that had gathered. They just came from everywhere. A crowd of people. A large crowd of people that gathered. And what they told me, that the place where we were assembling was a KGB campground that was no longer used by the KGB. And, you know, in all my life, I would have never dreamed that I would be standing on a KGB campground in Russia praising the Lord. But one little lady dared to believe God can do anything. And this truth that I have is so precious and so dear, I've got to have my people know about it. She was the cause, Brother George. That little girl was the cause of us being able to get the money to go there. Hallelujah. It was her faith. It's her determination. Her contentment. She was in the middle of this group of thousands of people trying to serve God, knowing that none of them had the truth that she had learned. And she didn't fight them. She stood for it in the midst of them. She had gone to her pastor and said, I found some more truth that we all need. Would you let me contact some people, have them come here and tell us all these wonderful things that are available to us? And he consented. And that's why we were there. I'll never forget his words the next day as this big crowd assembled. And we were in this auditorium. And he stood up and had some tears come in his eyes. And he said, brethren, to an interpreter, We are here to find out what we must do. And God has sent you to tell us what God would have us do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We spent all week, day and night, teaching those people about Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, one God, through an interpreter. This interpreter that was interpreting for us was a Trinitarian, not filled with the Holy Ghost, not baptized in Jesus' name. But he spent the week being our interpreter as we would teach, and he would have to teach with us the words we said. By the end of the week, he was ready to get baptized in Jesus' name. Today, that man who is our interpreter is pastor of a church, and he has baptized hundreds of people in the name of Jesus Christ and watched them receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. All because one little lady was content in God, even though the conditions were impossible. Now, if that little lady can sit in the heart of Tatarstan, Russia, out in the middle of the boondocks, in the middle of nowhere, with nobody to fellowship with except people who are not in the truth, and be content enough to let God be God and do whatever she can to follow God, what's to stop us from evangelizing the East Coast in the United States of America? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. And that story is just unfolding. It hasn't ended yet. But thank God for that experience. I just wanted to share that with you because I've been looking at those pictures, and I'm going to put a lot of that on that scrapbook that's on the internet and some video footage. So some of you might be interested in watching that. A lot of beautiful things happened while we were there. We went into an apartment complex. I didn't know where I was going. They put me in a car with a bunch of Russians. I was the only one who could speak English in the car. We didn't have an interpreter with us in that car. And we tried to communicate, and it was a joke. And I just, I'd talk, and one thing I kept saying, please slow down. Because they must have drove 110 miles an hour on these curvy little narrow roads, just shoo, shoo, just happy and going, and they didn't understand when I'd say slow down what I was saying. It just went on. But they took us to this apartment complex, a big, huge apartment complex. And we got there. There was an interpreter waiting for us when we got there. They had gone in a different vehicle. And we got there, there was a real nice, looked like just a typical Pentecostal lady stepped out of this building. And she said, through an interpreter to us, we've been waiting for 8 hours for you to arrive. And she said, we were not going to leave until you arrived. Well, I didn't know what she meant when she said, we've been waiting. But when we opened the door, there was a big room full of people that had been waiting for 8 hours for these people from America to come and tell them what they must do to be saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And there were people that lived in that apartment complex. They had gathered there because that's where they met every week, in that big room, to learn about God. And they had been told, these people are coming from the United States to tell us more about what we need to know in order to be saved. And it was such a pleasure to just stand there, talk about Jesus' name baptism to people who never heard it before in their life. The Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. We didn't have the opposition of somebody wanting to debate. Besides that, they wouldn't have known how, and we wouldn't know what to say back because we only had one person that knew our language in the crowd. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory.
We were in a line praying for some folks. Praying. You know, when you're praying, it doesn't matter if they can understand you or not. My interpreter was way off over there with some other people. And I was standing here praying with a lady. And I didn't know her language. She didn't know my language. But I was praying for her. And she held up her hand and pointed to it. It was a withered hand. It was a discolored, withered hand. You could tell the hand had been withered for a long time. It was a useless hand. There was no strength in that hand whatsoever. A withered hand. And immediately I thought about something I read in the Bible about a man with a withered hand. And I thought about what Jesus did. And here we were in the middle of faith in operation. A little lady having so much faith that she'd put together a revival that was going to sweep the entire continent. Praise God. One little lady's faith was bringing this to pass. And there's something about seeing that faith being exercised. It was causing faith to arise in my own heart. And I said to this lady, I said to her, without, I know she couldn't understand me, but I said, lift up your hand and just start praising God, and God's going to restore that hand. She couldn't understand me, but she lifted up her hand and suddenly the color came into it. And she started wiggling her fingers and it became normal right before our eyes. And she started saying, da, 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 da. I saw that.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If God can do that in Tatarstan, He can do that in Norwich. Hallelujah. If God can do that with people talking and can't understand one another, don't know each other's language, what's to stop Him from healing every disease in this place where we can communicate and we can talk about things and know what's being said?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All this is taking place. And there was a lady down on the other end. She came running up to the stage and she was real excited. And she kept motioning for me to come over there. And I went over there and she was just going, and the interpreter wasn't near. I didn't know what she was saying. She was real excited trying to talk to me. I couldn't understand her. She couldn't understand me. And she just kept saying things and pointing to her neck and saying things and pointing to her neck. So I motioned for somebody to go get the interpreter. And he was busy working with somebody else who was getting healed. So he finally came over. And I said, this lady's trying to say something to me. And so she telling him what happened. And he got all excited. He said, she had a large garter, or garter, how you say it? Big knot, big tumor, garter on her neck. And she came to this service. And she was sitting back there. And she saw all these people having miracles take place in her life. And she felt of her garter, and it was still there. And she was saying, why is God doing that for all of them? And it's not happening for me. And she was getting angry because everybody else is getting healed and having miracles, and she's still sitting there. This little lady in the heart of Russia got up from her seat. And she was determined, if they're going to get healed, I'm going to get them to pray for me so I can get healed.
Amen.
And what she was so excited about, before she got to the stage, she was on her way up there, she reached up to put her hand on it, and it wasn't there anymore. Hallelujah. If God can do that there, why can't we see something happen here? Let's praise the Lord tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God uses healing and miracles to bring truth to His people. And He has people that we don't even know about who are not necessarily members of our church, who are not necessarily apostolic, who are not necessarily anybody we know about, but we need to keep reminding ourselves, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. Buy the truth and sell it not. You don't have to worry about selling this thing. Just let your light shine and let people see what God is able to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory to God.
I don't know how it's going to happen, but I do believe that we're going to see a great increase of the harvest of God right in our lives. And I believe this group of people is going to witness cancers falling off of people. Hallelujah. I believe we're going to witness. In fact, have we not already seen the power of God demonstrated? Thank you, Jesus. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We need to be thankful for the church that we're in. We need to be happy that God has considered us and brought us to a place where we can enjoy talking about these good things. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. Hallelujah. We were getting ready to come back to the United States after a week of teaching these people the wonderful truth, the precious truth. Just before we were to leave, the last day, Brother Walkstetter showed up. We'd been there all week without a leader. But you know what? Our leader was Jesus Christ. We had delivered the Bibles that he had intended to deliver. Amen. And he finally was able to get all of his paperwork done. And he was able to show up right in the last day, just in time to come up and talk a little while and speak to the people. And he brought a big, big box full of medications because the hospital's there and the medical situation is in such terrible condition. Somehow he had been able to bring medicines for the doctors and the nurses there and deliver it and hand it to some nurses that came forward. And they just wept there on the stage as this was delivered. He had promised them next time he returned there, he would bring them some medication for their sick people in their hospitals. And he was able to do that somehow. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. Praise God. He did it. And all those stacks of Bibles there, all those stacks of Bible. I looked back in the audience and there was a little old lady sitting there and she couldn't speak English, but she was speaking in tongues. She had both of her hands up just speaking. I know she was speaking in tongues. And I inquired, I said, "Who is that lady?" And I was told she is the daughter of the superintendent or the head superintendent of all the public schools in all of Tatarstan. And it said that her daddy had also received the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. And that when we deliver those Bibles, he took several of those Bibles, one for each school, and he said to the interpreter, he said, "Every school in Tatarstan will have a Bible on the desk of every teacher." Amen. And it'll be required that every day something be read from the Word of God. And while they're taking it out of our schools, praise God. Thank God there's a place where somebody's hungry for the Word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. We came home. Amen. The plane that was bringing us back was not quite as broken down as the one that took us there. We landed in Moscow. Amen. But just before we left, people were standing around with tears in their eyes. Tears in their eyes. I had been sitting on the porch with them late at night till 3 o'clock in the morning singing songs and clapping our hands. I didn't know their language, but I tried to sing it anyway. Tried to say their words, and they would get tickled at me, and I'd just go right along with them. I taught those people as we were eating shish kebabs. I can't say it with my teeth. Shish kebabs. Out there sitting around a campfire. I taught them all to sing, "This is the day" in English. Amen. "This is the day that the Lord has made." And they would just clap their hands and sing, "This is the day, this is the day that the Lord had made, that the Lord had made." But it was so beautiful. It's so beautiful. I remember standing on a bus with a guitar. Somebody handed me a guitar. The bus was going about 80 miles an hour down these winding roads. And we had about 150 people on that bus. It would only seat about 60. And we were just crowded in there like sardines. And that whole bus, we were all singing, "This is a day, this is a day." And I was thinking, "Lord, see us through this day." Amen. That the Lord has made. Let's all come around the front. Let's just thank the Lord that we can find contentment in the Holy Ghost. And we can see revival. This church has been part of some great things, and we're part of some great things now. Hallelujah. There are people in places right now hearing this gospel message. And who knows what one soul in China or Japan or South America may do with a little bit of faith in God. This gospel shall be taken to the whole world. Hallelujah. Because God knows how to do it. We don't have to figure it out. We just need to keep having church. Praise God. Sooner or later a spark will hit right where we are. And we're going to see blinded eyes open, deaf ears unstopped. Loved ones come falling into the altar, speaking in tongues, being baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just thank the Lord tonight. Everybody thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. We ask you, Lord, let us be part of a great move of God that we're already a part of, but let us see things unfold in such a way that it is earth-shaking. Let us see revival happen all through this East Coast, Lord, that we can be a part of and we can rejoice and we can find fellowship with people who are not serving you today, that they will become children of God, that we can join hands with, sing songs together with, because we know that you're here with us and you're there with them and you're able to bring it all to pass in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. We're just in the middle of the book. Wait till we get to the end of it and see how this book is going to read. God is doing a great work. Hallelujah. Great work. There are going to be preachers preaching in this pulpit with large crowds of people rejoicing. And those people I'm talking about, including the preachers preaching in this pulpit, none of them are saved today. These are some victories that are yet to come. And we're going to live to see it come to pass. Praise God. Let's praise Him one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.